Hey guys, it's Michelle Collins. Welcome to the Michelle Collins Show. It's my show, and I'm thrilled you're here. We're going to be bringing you episodes every single week with different co-hosts, the same usual nonsense, off-the-cuff humor, news, advice, pop culture. I know it's a novel concept for a podcast, but what can I say? I'm an innovator. That's what I do. You'll be getting episodes every week, but if you want to hear daily episodes, you can head over to my Patreon. That's www.patreon.com/MishCall, MichColl. I have co-hosts every single day. It's funny. It's loose. It's authentic. I do weekly episodes with my mother. If you're curious as to how someone is made this way, I highly recommend tuning into those and some video content as well, which is exciting. I'm off to contour, but I want you to enjoy this episode. It's fabulous. We adore you and we look forward to seeing you over on the Patreon.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey guys, it's Michelle Collins. Welcome to Midnight Snack. Before we get to our episode, I just want to remind everyone, you know I'm coming to your town, I think. It sounds like a threat, but I'm going on tour starting at the end of April. I'm hitting up 8 cities. It's called the Big Natural Tour for obvious reasons. I'm huge and a real natural. And I'll be in Atlanta, Los Angeles, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, New York, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. Boston has actually sold out. So if you live in Boston, just come down to New York. It's going to be so much fun. We're at Town Hall. You can go to michellecollinslive.com to get your tickets. We have some surprises in store. Brian Safi will be at the Portland, Oregon show. We have some other guests that we'll be announcing soon. So go to michellecollinslive.com to get your tickets. And also, if you want to hear more of these shows, you know, I have that Patreon, patreon.com/MishCall. I do daily episodes, including a bonus episode with my mom every week. I am talking a lot, but if you head over there, you can hear episodes every day. And on that note, I think you're going to love this episode of Midnight Snack with, of course, the one and only Dan Acton. I can't wait to see all of you guys at my shows. We'll talk soon. Enjoy the app. Bye, guys. Hello, everyone. It's Michelle Collins. Welcome to an all new Midnight Snack. I have to be honest. I just got to be very upfront. I am having such a good hair and makeup day today, and I don't even know where to begin or end, but I've spent the last 72 hours binge eating. And for some reason, I don't know, the face is looking full. It's looking young. It's working, people. I had an entire bag of lentil chips last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Maybe too personal to open the show.
Keep doing it.
Keep doing it. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, welcoming, of course, to the show, as always, Dan Acton, live from Brooklyn. Hi, Dan.
Morning, Michelle. Can I tell you something that's going on with my face right now, actually?
I hope you would. Yeah.
I have like a rug burn on my face, like on my cheeks, on my cheekbones.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Listen, your personal life, this is a children's show. I've said it before.
I know.
Constantly, I every week it feels, whenever you're here, I have to reiterate, this is a show for kids. And you constantly come in with your rug burns on your face and the toothbrush breakfasts. and the shower locker room scenes. And I'm saying, Dan, it's not that kind of a show. All right. Well, how did it happen?
Listen, Rugrats can relate to what I'm going through.
I'm so mad.
So like I was at the gym and I had my like neck against something and it looked really thick in the mirror. And I was like, oh, I would look good with a thick neck. So I started looking up neck exercises that you could do at the gym. And so I found there's this thing that you can strap to a cable and it's kind of like a doc, you know, from Back to the Future when he puts that thing on his head. Like it's the strap that goes around your head and around your forehead.
I'm sorry. I got to stop you. You know, before you get into the contraption and what happened, I just have to remind everyone who listens the difference between men and women. See, now I may not be speaking for all women, obviously, when I am about to say what I'm about to say. But one of the main reasons why I hate going to the gym is self-consciousness. I don't like walking, and it doesn't matter what I'm wearing. I can be in brand new workout stuff, but women love it because they want to be watched, or they're just so used mm-hmm. to going that it's like second nature to them. As someone who did not grow up going to a gym, I always feel out of my element. I'm worried that I'm doing something wrong. People are looking, you know, I don't want to look foolish is really what it boils down right. to. So that's why when I do go, I do the treadmill and that's pretty much it. I'll do treadmill, maybe the rowing machine, maybe, but that is pretty much it. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. Dan is at his gym with the honeymooner's toothache wrap with this is what I'm picturing at least, like an old 1950s basically. Toothache wrap around your head with cables coming out of it, going full pink in her So What tour or whatever it was called, catapulting yourself across the gym, basically on two ropes. So I just want to point out the difference between maybe not men and women, but specifically me and Dan.
Me and you.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, okay. So you, by the way, and one last thing I must interject, forgive me.
Yeah.
You understand that the other thing is my dream in life is to not have a thick neck. Like I wish I could find out an exercise. In fact, believe me, people always are like nasty on my Instagram going, you always pose the same way. Yeah. You know why? Cause that's how I feel good. I pose that way because that's how I feel pretty. Yes, I'm self-conscious. Right. I'm the first one to admit it. Like, you got me. I'm self-conscious. I don't like, you know, even if I watch myself on camera and they do like a full frontal from the waist down, yeah. It's A+. Okay. Waist to neck. Ooh, okay. Fine. But from clavicle up from the front, I was born out of a pile of sand on Easter Island. You know, people are going, what aliens made her? That's what people say when they meet me for the first time. So the point is that it's amazing to me that also as a person with a thick neck who would love anything, but you know, to have that like swan, like beautiful neck, you're again, buying things online too thick. I realize the difference here, but it just, again, makes me laugh. Okay. Continue. So you put this thing, do you have a picture of it? I'm laughing.
I have a picture of
only you would come on the show hot going, I got rug burns on my face. Was there not a point when this was going on at the gym where you weren't in pain?
No, because I warmed up and you do all these like warm up exercises and then you're fine. Like I might actually, okay, I have a funny.
You're sending me a
picture.
This is not
exactly what it looked like, but yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm opening it.
If you warm up properly, I believe that you'll be totally fine.
Okay.
Until I actually break my neck.
I see. Now, are you hanging from this thing? I'm opening it now. Oh my. You're really a fucked up person. Like, I love you and your family to me, and I'll always accept you. But this is, if they had this contraption on Game of Thrones as like a torture device, I would say this show is too fucked up for me and it's going to a place where I'm not comfortable. I'm not being funny. Let me re-explain it to people because this is not what I was picturing at all. I don't know what I was picturing, but it wasn't. Here's what this is. This is essentially a Velcro helmet. And from the ear parts, like the ear flaps, are two metal chains. And then from the chains in front of you, you hang a circular weight that almost looks like an old fashioned subway token. And then I guess
that's a plate.
It's a plate. Okay. Whatever. You know, don't do that. No, I won't accept. Do not. You dare. Equipment shame me. I'm not in the mood. I have a good makeup day. Don't make me sweat it off in disgust. Okay. So you got this plate dangling. And so, of course, what gave you the burns? Was it the chains? Now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had, so they were like right up against your cheeks. So when you're like going back and forth doing your reps, they're like rubbing against your cheeks. And, but I didn't want, yeah, I was feeling the burn, but I
Sure.
didn't want to give up. And then I took it off afterwards. And I have these like, it's like that I highlighted my cheekbones like
That's
permanently.
kind of beautiful, honestly. Is it? Wait, send me a selfie. The more you're talking about it, I'm like, maybe I need this thing actually. Permanent highlight, forget makeup tattoos. People are like, wow, your cheekbones are popping and your neck has never been thicker. I'm going, thank you very much. I, in fact, was influenced by my friend Dan. Wow, this is really incredible. Well, listen, I hope it gets better soon. Funny enough, I
Thanks.
use a blush that is so dark that I think if anyone looked at it, they would assume immediately that it was just wrong on my skin, but it goes on like exactly what you're describing it, in the cheekbones and the hollows, you know, it gives it like a nice hollow pop, which is what I'm always looking for in my facial routine. I'm having a situation that is painful as well, which is that I, for the past few months, have been getting acrylic nails. I fully become my mother and I'm fine with it. I actually knew this day would come and it's here. I got acrylic nails and there's a, I've been a few times. The thing that I love about them is even if I don't love the color or the shape, they last forever. I mean, I'm talking 3 weeks and my nails, even though they're growing out, they still look fresh, you know? And so I went in Miami, very lovely girl who's done my nails before. She's so sweet. We really are friendly, but I have to say that she takes forever. Like one of my main things with the nail salon, again, as an Easter Island giant with a heavy head and neck, is that I don't like sitting in that nail chair for too long because it's just uncomfortable for me usually. You know, it's you have to like pose a certain way, your arms over. I don't know. You know what I mean? Have you ever gotten a manicure? I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I've had a manicure and I don't do it. Yeah, you have to like T-Rex your arms a little bit and
Yeah.
it's it's and it's annoying. Like
It's
I
annoying.
mean,
It
I just get my
hurts.
nails clean. I don't even get anything done, but like even for 10 minutes it's like
Okay, so last time it took her over an hour and a half just to do the nails, and I was in real pain. But then she had another client come in, so she like kind of sent me out. And in my opinion, she wasn't like fully done because I just think she, I mean, she's very good, but she, you have to block your whole afternoon. It takes hours. And this, a mani-pedi was 3 hours, and I'll be honest, I was like, only okay. But there was nothing I could do. That was what it was. And so on the index fingers, which are on my natural nail, both of the acrylics have popped off, but only on the bottom part. So I, but only on the bottom. So the top, you cannot, it's like I'd have to rip my whole nail off in order to get it off. So obviously I have to go get my nails done and have someone, you know, professionally remove it and fix it. But I had crazy glue that my mom gave me, cannot find it. So for the past 24 hours, every time like I run my fingers through my hair or anything, it's catching on everything. It hurts. It's a, it's horrible. It
Oh, it's like a
really,
little hangnail, sort
it's a
of,
little
right?
hang, but
Like
it's a
a little
big one.
scratchy.
Yes, but it's a big guy. And then the more I was thinking about it, and this is how you know that I don't know what this is. This is for sure a product of my ADHD. My entire Instagram account lately is ADHD accounts, and every single post is things that I do. Every single post, I'm not on medication for it, but they're like, then this really nice, I guess ADHD coach followed me randomly. I'm going, she must have just seen me somewhere and followed me. So I followed her back. I think her name is Divergent Coach Kelly. So I was like, follow back. And then every post is like one of the things they say, which it's so funny because you could probably say this about almost anyone, but it's that ADHD people when they clean, which is already a hard thing. It's like a hard task to clean. I actually cleaned yesterday and it was feeling great, but they put everything in piles. They're just in like piles on piles. And I am the pile queen. And what ends up happening is, like, I have piles of, you know, I fold them. They're not just like crumpled, but I have my jeans are all folded, my sweaters stacked and folded. But then how else are you supposed to put things away? My makeup, I just buy little boxes and I just toss all my makeup in it, you know? But do people do different things? I mean, I feel like that's how you organize things. Am I crazy?
Well, it's the idea that, like it's anxiety producing because you're not actually putting them in the drawer then. You just have the pile. So you're like micro organizing, but not actually organized. Is that the idea?
There's definitely something to that for sure. I think that in my case also it's a storage issue because the my apartment doesn't have a lot of, it's roomy, but it doesn't have a lot of storage space, if that makes sense. So I'm just constantly repiling shit up. It's why I love those big Ziploc bags. I buy these 2-gallon Ziplocs when I'm in the US because you can pile so much shit. So I put all my makeup brushes in one, all my foundations in one. You know what? That's how I organize it. Yeah. And to me, that I like it. The only problem is that when I do my makeup, I have to take out like 15 Ziploc bags. And I mean, it's not normal. That much I know. This much I know is true. Is that what that book was about? It's not normal.
I mean, my friend used to do that. My friend used to go and like, he was a professional organizer and he would go and like tidy up for people. But would you like that? Or you need to know where everything is, right?
Here's
like,
the problem.
Do you need to do it yourself?
I kind of have to do it myself. And the thing is that when I do it, if you were to come to my apartment, you'd say, wow, she's a really tidy, you know, it looks very neat. Like I don't, you wouldn't know that I'm.
I can attest to that. Yep.
You've seen it. Okay. That makes me feel better. Yeah. I forgot about that. But Dan totally. Basically lived with me during COVID for like a month. We had the best time. Remember when you came uptown for a little bit? That was so much fun.
Yeah. It was fun actually.
Dan lived in my neighbor's apartment.
You gave me a haircut on the roof.
Oh my God. I gave you a fantastic haircut. Yes or no?
Yes, it was great.
Oh my God. So actually this ties into what I was even bringing up, which is that my latest thing is I believe that I could possibly do my own acrylic nails. I've watched videos on it. When I'm watching her do it, because I'm actually quite anal. For example, like if I'm photoshopping something, I zoom in pixel by pixel. I have to get it perfect. I'm very anal about things like that. I'm sloppy in other ways, but it's certainly a perfectionist. Also with my makeup, like my eyeliner, things like that have to be perfect or I can't leave the house. And I really think.
So are you like, go ahead. Are you cutting the nails like to trim your finger? I actually don't know how it's done. Do you just have a size or?
No, if I'm using my natural nail, this is going to bore people. I think the reason why I'm bringing it up is, does anyone do their own acrylic nails at home? Feel free to sound off in the comments because I want to know. But it would be just filing. I actually have like the drill that they use, which I bought on Amazon. Even if you don't get acrylics, cannot recommend that drill enough. It is just, even if you have like a little dry skin or anything you have, it gives you professional quality results. I love it. It was like $20. Great purchase. Nice. 10 out of 10. That being, why don't I have an affiliate link? Questions? You know why? Because I hate money. Okay. If you're wondering, I actually hate money. I don't want it. So go buy it on your own time. I don't like shilling for people. It's not my personality. I don't want to do it. In the meantime, I watch videos and like, I think it's just, you get the brush. The thing is, I think I do one hand perfectly and like fuck the other hand up so badly, but I really kind of want to try it. I'm just worried that it's actually so hard. I don't know. I almost want to go to beauty school. I'm telling you, I think this is really where my passions are. I love cutting hair.
Oh, that could be fun.
I love makeup. I love nails. I really enjoy it. And you know, my grandmother was a beautician. She was had her own salon in Long Island and did facials. Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Cool. Her
It's in your blood. Yeah.
In my blood. Her competitor was Elizabeth Arden, believe it or not. This was back in like the 60s probably. Really? Yeah. And then one person became very rich. And then we sold their house to a bunch of Orthodox Jews who burned it down within the year. So look, two different paths. Again, divergent Coach Kelly. You know, it happens. It happens. So yes, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I mean, I was just going to say like, it's a different viewpoint too. Cause like, if you're doing it for other people, like it's a whole different thing. You're using both of your hands. I think it would be really hard to do it with your less dominant hand. Like you would,
That is a thing.
And if you fucked it up, like what's the worst that could happen? If you fucked it up like massively, could you just go to a salon and be like, fix this?
There is no question that is exactly what would happen. No. I don't think I would. I mean, I haven't even considered the germ element of it. To me, my body, I'm like Terminator 3. I always feel like I'll never get an infection. Like I'll eat like mold. I'm like, I don't actually do that, but I'm sure if I have, I've made it through. I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'll use old mascaras. I'm fine. I'm, you know, I'm not afraid of things. I'm like, whatever, give it to me. I like the germs. I like it. So that's fine. I actually had a horrible pedicure in London a few years ago that basically ruined me. So I should be a little bit more mindful, Okay. So this is just what's on my mind. Now you sent me an article from The Cut. Written by, I love this person's name, Hannah Flanagan. That is a good name. Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah, I missed it this last week, but I am otherwise.
It's pretty funny this week. I haven't loved the season because it just feels stale. But this week, there's a plot line with Dan Levy and Sean Hayes where they play a gay couple. And one's last name is Mantle. And the other one's last name is like Zegelbaum or like Zadelbaum something. And they want to give the kid the Zadelbaum, not Mantle. And Larry obviously loses his mind. But then he goes, listen, I definitely am butchering that last name. But he goes, listen, I'm great at coming up with first names. So let me come up with the first name for the kid and then it won't be so bad. And he goes like Ziggy Zadelbaum. And honestly, it sounded great. I thought, God, I know this was written, but Ziggy is a really cute name for a pet or child, I think. I love the name Ziggy. Big fan. Anyway, Hannah Flanagan, also a great name. So she has an article just from, well, you're really on top of things, just from this week called I Am My Worst Self at the Nail Salon. See, here's the thing, because I always talk to people, I can't shut the fuck up, but I noticed that there's just so much pressure at the nail salon to talk. There's so much. And it depends, I guess, on who's doing your nails, but at this place where I go, there's a lot. I know everything about her whole extended family. I mean, I know everything about her. It's a lot of pressure. What were you going to say?
Well, you're like face to face. You can't be on your phone. You can't look at, you're just, your hands are in their hands and it's like the artist is present or something. Like the pressure to say anything is like incredible.
See, this is the thing. And it's interesting because I'm kind of skimming this article, Johnny Five style. And she's saying, God, it's really funny. She's me because it's boring, but not to me. She's talking about when you're at the salon and it's not the color you picked or this or that. That is exactly what happened to me. I wanted a certain color. She ended up putting a different one on. And especially with the acrylics, once it's on, goodbye, you're done. I mean, it's glued, it's dried down for life. So I just kind of sat there. And meanwhile, it's like over $100, you know, it's expensive to get the thing done. Mm. And you kind of just can't say anything or you risk becoming on Seinfeld, the one that they all talk about in Vietnamese, you know? So she was saying that basically she was annoyed and she has a lot of nail anxiety. I just saved you about 4 minutes of time reading it. Not the best article. I thought she was going to talk about when she said, I'm not my best self. I thought it was going to be that she actually speaks up for herself, you know, in which case I can see that also being taken the wrong way. It's just hard sometimes to advocate when, I think especially when you're a woman, and in the case of beauty, you don't want to look like a princess. You don't want to look too high maintenance. You're just good with anything. But the truth is, we all have the things we like, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
True words have never been spoken. What else is happening? This was good. Listen,
okay, so
Burns already 10 out of 10. Love the story. Continue.
All right. So I told you about this briefly yesterday, but like I took Monday off and I went to see Dune 2 during the day.
I didn't know that you took the day off of work for it. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a long movie.
Okay, go on.
So so the 220 show, it's at Alamo Draft House, and it's like on the fourth floor of this mall, downtown Brooklyn. Saw the movie. It was great. The person next to me was hilarious. I kind of think she was a movie YouTuber. Like the way she talked and she was ordering everything. She actually ordered they had like this Dune special spicy popcorn. Mm-hmm. That was so gross. She took like one bite and she was like, do you guys want this?
Really?
And I took like one. Yeah. And it was like, I took one kernel. I was like, no, it's too much.
What did it taste like? It was too spicy.
It was like super spicy, super salty, super with like curry powder on top was sort of the thing. Like it was just like you had one bite and you needed like a gallon of water.
Oh, no. Did it come in the masturbation bucket?
No, it didn't, because it was like, no, they had like these classy like tumblers or whatever. I wish we had the masturbation bucket.
I know, I love that Fleshlight bucket. Were they even offering it at the Alamo Draft House, or wasn't it up for?
No, you have to masturbate dry.
The old-fashioned way. Sucks.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, go on.
The movie's over, and we're all making our way out to this like bank of like glass elevators. So we get into the elevator. There's a few people like kind of, I can tell that they're like kind of fastly walking towards the elevator, but I let the door slide. I didn't hold the elevator open. Whatever. Okay. There's four elevators right here.
It's totally fine.
I turn around and I see like there's kind of a little scene with the people that didn't make the elevator. And one is holding, there's this woman holding a phone up, recording something like widescreen. And then there's a woman that's very well put together, especially for like Monday afternoon, taking work off to go see Dune. Well put together. And like, she's having sort of a discussion, but I was like, is this, are they like shooing a movie or what? Cause it was a weird vibe. And I actually almost got out of the elevator and went back up the escalator to see what it was.
Oh, I would have. I love doing shit like that. Yeah. I want to be in them. I wish you would have. Oh.
I wish I would have. But it's like, that person is so, she's familiar. Like, she looked like she was made up as an actress. So whatever, we forget about it. Yesterday, it hits the news that AOC was confronted with her boyfriend by like activists outside the Alamo Draft House. And I didn't let her get into the elevator and she was like accosted and now she's like
Wait, I'm actually fainting. I didn't realize. So she was the one trying to get in. I am actually going to have to go. By the way, secretly though, thank you. Because honestly, it was kind of a great moment. Also, what the hell was she doing at Dune 2 on a Monday? Now hold on. Forget the protesters. What the hell is she doing at Dune 2 on a Monday? That whole scene was very odd. I don't even have any comments about what happened there because it just kind of didn't add up really. But all that being said,
exactly.
Thanks to you, we had a great moment in American politics. That is a literal Curb Your Enthusiasm bit. Really, I mean, that's funny. So
I know.
Funny.
But me and my friend Bob, who knew you know, like we went together and like, we were just discussing, I'm like, what is going on up there? And we're like poking our head around, like, I don't know.
I'm dying. You know what's funny is that I saw her once by Lincoln Center, down actually by the Trump building, walking, I think with her boyfriend. And she's very pretty. I mean, in person, she looks like the actress from West Side Story a little bit. She's got very, you know, pretty features. What I really find funny is I think she was with her boyfriend at the time. This was probably pre-COVID that I saw her. And I remember thinking, oh, he's hot. You know, he's a good looking guy. But then I saw him in the video yesterday and it just kind of made me laugh because I don't think he looks as good now as he used to. I don't know what, maybe just age, you know, typical stuff. Or maybe she's with a different guy, honestly. I didn't even recognize him, but I think it's the same guy. To his credit, he's a big old man. He's a big old tall man. So I appreciate that for her.
Yep.
It's just funny to me because he looks like every bartender in Bushwick. Does he not? I mean, he has the look of every bartender that you would take home in your 20s in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I have
to laugh.
Well,
maybe that's where she met him when she was a bartender. Maybe. I mean.
Oh, actually, you know what? You might be onto something.
Yeah,
because
it kind of makes sense.
It just kind of makes me laugh that she's the most beautiful American politician. She's a household name. Whether you agree with her or not, doesn't really matter. I mean, she's famous. And she's with a guy who is for sure at least 10 girls one night stands. And that's why I left New York. People want to know. I'm going to point people to her boyfriend and be like, this is why I had to go because I won't stand for this. I'm sorry. Not at the age that I'm at. Not after everything I've done. No, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I'm sure he takes
care of her.
Listen,
the truth is it's a smash for sure. I'm just saying that he's the most average looking bartender, just tall, you know? And it just makes me laugh. Like you would almost picture, I'll tell you what I'm obsessed with. Did you see the rumor? Because you know I love me some Luann Delaceps. I know Luann. Luann has had probably one of the greatest housewife comebacks, I think, of anyone. Forgetting the fact that she looks drop-dead gorgeous. I mean, every year she looks better and better. It's wild. But forgetting that for a minute, she also just it doesn't take herself too seriously. She's funny. Mm-hmm. She always rides the line on the show of having good storylines, but also, you know, she's put herself out there. We saw her getting cheated on and things like that. I feel like
we're
really on her side. I don't know too many people who don't like Luann, to be honest with you. And I'm obsessed that she is now supposedly dating. This is the best thing I've ever heard. Mary-Kate Olsen's ex. The fact that we even have to open with Mary-Kate Olsen's ex versus the brother of Nicholas Sarkozy is like another funny thing in our lifetime. But she had lunch, a 2-hour lunch date with Olivier Sarkozy.
Oh,
according to the Daily Mail, it really set tongues wagging, quote. She's 58. He's 54. And I have to say, a lot of people were, it's ideal. Listen, does he look like a scientist put him together with a bunch of different parts? Yeah, he does. You know what else?
Yeah, he looks Mr. Potato Head kind of.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Two eyebrows. Yeah.
You see what I mean? A bit, you know, listen, he looks very cute. It's funny because this sweater that she's wearing, she did a little TikTok in. I saw she looks phenomenal. And I love them together. Why is his jacket dirty? This is my question. You are a billionaire, probably Frenchman. Look at his suede jacket. It has like icing on one side, or I hope it's icing. I don't know what
really?
The hell it is. I don't know, in this picture. Do you
that's
see
not
this?
Icing.
and hold on a minute. Facial rug burns. Hold on a minute. Wait a second. Hold on. No, I'm going to send you this picture. I just sent you the link. I got to say, though, I find him cute and charming. And she's probably 5'10". Is she wearing a heel? Yeah, a little bit of a heel. He's got to be
6'5".
They make a very good looking couple. I'm into it. I love
he's
that.
He's very
look.
Like Jacques. Oh, I know what you mean. You know what? This might, that is
what's
strange.
What's in his jacket? You
so either, so he either rubbed it the wrong way, or it's like a wax jacket that's just like kind of, I don't
suede
know.
Suede to me. You ever, to quote George Costanza, I love suede. You ever rub it against the grain? By the way, there's a picture, one of the funniest, there's a picture of him here next to Mary Kate. I just have to say, it does look like a grandfather and his 11-year-old grandchild, not even teenage.
Yeah.
The size differential between them does upset me. I'm sorry, it does. I don't like that, and I don't think it's correct. I don't even understand how...
Little girls. Wait, that's from...
Thank heaven for little girls. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, thank heaven for... That's what I meant.
From My Father, the Hero with Gérard Depardieu. One of the funniest scenes in that whole thing. I'll tell you, when he was young, he was cute. You know what I like about him? I love, he's got like a little dad belly, and then he like tucks his shirts over it, which I do find kind of hot.
Yeah, that is cute.
I have to tell you something.
I gotta start doing
it's 100% smash. Certainly a bigger smash than Jacques. I'm looking at Jacques here. Jacques, I do not like his face. He's not for me. I'm excited for Luann. I see potential here. I sure do.
I ran into Jacques outside a theater once in New York.
Was he running for the elevator?
No more story.
It was like ding. Yeah. And he was accosted by a bunch of protesters. It's just Dan's move at this point. That's really funny. What else is cooking here, Dan? What, any other stories from the week? I feel like, oh, you have one more? I'm excited. Yeah. Hit me.
Well, I told you that it involves blackmail. I think I should tell that story.
Oh, man. Honestly, if you feel comfortable telling it, do it. But I'm going to say on the air what I said to you privately. Okay, tell it. I'm nervous, even though I know the story.
Okay.
I'm nervous. Okay, go.
I think this is a public service, honestly, because... Okay, so I was... earlier this week, I was talking to somebody on Grindr. And, you know, like a normal looking... He looked like a man, whatever. And I had sent some... And I had sent some like nudes, and we traded whatever.
You can tell the story. Like, oh, I feel like you're hesitating when you're telling it because you're pausing a lot.
No, I will.
I want you to tell it with vigor and with confidence because you have nothing to be ashamed about. Go for it.
Okay. So I met this guy on Grindr, and we're talking for a little bit, and we trade nudes and other photos besides nudes. So he, is like, oh, I live in your neighborhood. Let's trade numbers and we can hang out in a few days. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we trade numbers. We're chatting a little bit. A couple days later, he just randomly starts texting me. He's like, oh, you know, do you want to meet up? I'm feeling horny. Like, do you want to see? And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. So then all of a sudden he sends back like three of my own photos and this series of like threatening texts. Like I just showed you the screenshot of like,
can
what
I ask
he
you
sent
a question?
Me.
When you say three of your own photos, were those pictures you sent to him or ones that he found of you online?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No, he said, no, the ones that I sent, he's sending them right back to me. So immediately he sends these back and he says, now listen, I'm not who you think I am. I'm one tap away from publishing your files out to everyone. Failure to comply with my demands, consider it done. I've got direct contact to your family members, neighbors, and associates. Watch out, Michelle. Don't fuck with me. What's it gonna be? As soon as I start publishing your files, there's no going back. I'm warning you. Dude, don't fuck with me. So this is like within 5 seconds, he's sending me all this stuff. And then...
It's horrible.
He immediately calls. Now I'm getting a phone call from him. Mm-hmm. And so like, I was like, I was freaked out in the 5 seconds, but I'm also like, whatever. So I block. And I look this up, and on Reddit, this is actually a common scam and like almost exactly those lines. And what he sent me, I forgot to mention that he sent me like 10 screenshots of kind of publicly available information. Like if you look up somebody's name online and it has like their past address or something,
right.
It was totally the wrong name. It was like actually my friend's information who used to have this apartment.
Well, so I have a question for you.
I was listed. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. From the information that he had about you, did he obviously had your phone mm-hmm. number. Did he have your last name?
He thought that I was my friend who used to live in this apartment.
No, but hold on a second. Did he have your last name or not? It sounds like
Oh, no, I didn't give him. No, okay. I didn't give him.
But he had your address clearly because he was able to look that up.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. This is sad. So, okay.
It's very weird. Yeah. And I was actually in the list of associates of my friend. I was listed actually as one of the associates that he's going to like blow my shit up.
Does your friend also have the name Dan?
No.
Did he have your first name?
No. It's a Japanese woman.
Hold on. But did he have any of your name? Because otherwise, wouldn't he see that it's a woman's name?
He had my first name, and somehow I think it was like a bot kind of thing where he just like does some sort of reverse search.
I see.
And like he had the wrong information, but somehow he had my address and then looked up the like people who had been associated with that address and then anybody connected with them. So yeah, and he sends this all in like 10 seconds to really try to scare you, and then he's calling you on the phone and sending all these messages, and the idea is to like really hype you up and like make you panic and like, oh, I'll do anything. And then I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, well, who cares? Like, I was like, okay, like, what's the worst case scenario? He sends it to my parents. Like, I think I would just be like, you know, here's how everything turned out. You know, like, I think I could like plaster over it.
Do you know, I have other questions for you. Sorry, begs a lot of questions. I'm sure our listeners are going to have a lot as well. Do you have his name? Were you able to look him up? Could you do a reverse phone search? Was it a fake phone number?
It was definitely a fake phone number. It was somewhere like Phoenix, Arizona area code, and whatever, his name was Jim. Like, I don't know.
Now, when he called you, did you pick up the phone, or what did he sound like? Did he sound like it was from here, or what was his story?
No, I did not answer the phone. I just immediately blocked it.
Did you report the account on Grindr?
Oh, that's the other thing. Like, yeah. So Grindr is such a shady company. So they have this FAQ like, oh, yeah, it's easy to report somebody. There is no way to report somebody on Grindr.
Is that right?
I wasn't able to. They're like, yeah, just like select this menu option that doesn't exist and we'll take care of it. Yeah. So there's no.
That's terrible. And you know, this is a really serious thing. I mean, we hear stories. Mm. Of people who end their life because of the shame involved with having something like this shared. And I can completely understand it. I mean, obviously, listen, it's very different, I think, in the world you live in and the world I live in when it comes to dating. For example, I've stopped giving my number out. Like, I do not give my phone number out. And when a guy is like mad about it or kind of making fun of me, to me, that's a major red flag. I'm like, look, if you can't, this is I'm talking before I've met someone. If you can't respect that, and understand that I don't know you. I don't just give my phone number out like that. This isn't going to work on a number of levels. Because what's the issue, you know?
Right.
So that's the first thing. But I also am very chaste. Like this would never be. They would send a picture of me facing front with like all my clothes on, but just my big neck. I'd be like, no, don't share that. Please, I'll pay anything you want. Let me know what you want. But I'm not one.
If your associates saw your thick neck.
Just me with that thing on my head, like doing sit-ups. I'm like, not that. But anyway, the point is that so many people do send pictures like this and you have to be so careful. Mm-hmm. But it also shocks me that Grindr is so, given how much crime there is, I'm sure as a result of their app, but not only theirs, everything, Tinder, you name it, any app. I had an issue with someone who it was a Bumble date and it was fucked up. Mm-hmm. And they could not have been shittier about it, to be honest with you. The amount of time it took for them to get back to me. And I understand for safety reasons, they won't say what they've done. But it's also like, hey, this is a really serious thing. And you should protect mm-hmm. your other users before it turns into something that's like even more criminal or whatever it is. You know, these apps do not give a fuck. There have been articles written about it. Tinder certainly doesn't give a fuck. None of them do because they're in it for money. They don't care. But it reminds me of like when you get in an Uber where the driver then assaults you. You know, what responsibility does the app have and what kind of background checks are they running? I mean, the truth is this, even let's say on Tinder or Bumble, whatever, they have, I don't know if Grindr does this. I'm sure they do, where you can be verified. Do they have that as an option to prove that you're a real
person? I don't know. Yeah, possibly. I don't know.
Are you not verified maybe. On it?
I'm definitely not verified. Yeah.
Why not? I'm just curious.
You have to like write something on a piece of paper and take a photo and a pose or something. It seems like a pain in the ass.
See, it's different because I feel like, I don't know. To me, I'm just like, well, why wouldn't you do it? It takes 5 seconds. You prove to people that you're real, that you're not a bot, that you're like a human being, and that you actually look like your pictures versus catfishing. All of that and more. So I'm also very sensitive to like unverified. Like I won't even mess with it anymore. I'm like, no. I need all the safety measures in place. Number one, I'm really sorry that happened to you. And it's, I mean, I don't want to say it's like a lesson because obviously you did nothing wrong. This is a fucked up scammer. We talk about scammers a lot lately because apparently everyone's getting scammed in some way. But I mean, should we just release your nudes? I don't know. Should we just do like, should you start an OnlyFans? Oh my God, an OnlyDance. Start an OnlyDance. Oh,
there you go.
Come on. Please. And then it's Dan, please. Start an OnlyDance. And it's just all the nudes that this guy wants to release. You're just like, checkmate, motherfucker. I'm getting $5 a month like Denise Richards or whoever the hell it was.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do me a favor, like to send my nudes to all my associates. That's like a time saver.
You know,
you're
fucked up though. You see, the thing is, it's like checkmate in the sense that he found the one perv that's just like, yeah, put him out there. I don't give a fuck. Go for it. You know, I'm proud of
him. By definition, you sort of think that you like good. You look okay in them anyway. So whatever. Well, you want the way to instantly make yourself feel better or like that you're not alone if you're in one of these situations. Like, you know, that woman that like put $50,000 in a shoebox. Go on Reddit and type in exactly what the person said, and you will find, I've done this more than once, and you will find out like that everybody's been scammed and what's happened to them and like whether it's a scam or not.
Wow.
It's very useful. Yeah. Literally like what this guy typed to me or person typed to me, like I put it into Reddit and there were sad stories too. Like somebody was like, you know, outed to his wife and he had to like,
yeah, of course.
Well, nobody. Yeah. You know, there's like crazy stuff like that. But just to know that, oh, it's a scam. Ignore it. Like,
did he ever ask for money or he just said he didn't get that far?
No, that's. Yeah, no, he didn't get that far. I'm sure that's what the phone call was going to be and whatever. So.
Wow. I have a question for you. I'm looking at a picture on Yahoo Finance of Steve Jobs. The reason being, there's a headline that piqued my interest that I had to click on. It says Steve Jobs' daughter claims he told her she, quote, smelled like a toilet while on his deathbed. But she clarifies he was being honest, quote, I really did. I mean, this can't be real. But the reason why I'm even more surprised by it, I'm going to send it to you. Is this picture of him not either AI or Madame Tussauds? Look at him. That's not him. This is something is very uncanny valley. This is like,
oh, yeah, wait.
Pixar version of him, right? Like, look how weird that is. They must
be weird. He looks very symmetrical. Yeah.
You know what? They must be doing AI photos now to save money from Getty Images and stuff like that. They're just like, give us a picture of Steve Jobs looking serious, like he's smelling a human toilet. I got to read this article because this is the headline really begs for more information. So she wrote a book called Small Fry. Her name is Lisa Brennan Jobs. Oh, she's the estranged daughter, not even the strange daughter.
Oh.
I wonder why. I mean, my God, if God forbid a parent said that to me, I'd be like, okay, I guess I'm estranged now. Thanks again, you know. Readers are offered a profound insight into her complicated relationship with the iconic Apple co-founder. Known for his unfiltered approach to communication, Jobs never hesitated, oh, I bet he was such a dick, to express his opinions.
Yeah.
That's like the Dutch. I can't do it. No matter how sharp or direct. So Lisa made it a point to visit her father every other month during the last year of his life as he battled pancreatic cancer. In 2011, during one of these visits, she encountered a moment that stood out for its honesty. She hugged him. I mean, this is very sad. She hugged him and she, you know, felt his body. He was very ill, smell of medicine. Mm. She said, when we hugged, I felt his vertebrae, his ribs. He smelled musty. As she was about to leave, her father's voice called out to her. Lise, she responded. He said, you smell like a toilet. Too much. The root of the relationship. Oh, listen to this. Woo, this is spicy. Jobs initially denied paternity until a paternity test mandated by the court in 1980. That's shitty. Led to child support obligations. I mean, listen, maybe he denied it, but that's not great. Despite apologizing later for his absence, Jobs and his daughter continued to have a distant relationship. Oh, I'm on her side 100%. Imagine your dad being this genius, super wealthy, like brain in a jar, basically. And then you not having a relationship with him. He has all this time for all this other stuff, but not for you, his kid. Ooh, I do not like it.
He's hanging out with like you too.
She says, for him, I was a blot on a spectacular ascent, as our story did not fit with the narrative of greatness and virtue he might have wanted for himself. He was like ashamed. Isn't that fucked up? Oh, I hate this. So then she continues. But, you know, I wanted to get more into why she smelled so bad. Oh,
yeah. And what kind of toilet?
Yeah. What kind of toilet? Like one that, you know, I was going to say something. Never mind. Okay. Following the publication of Small Fry, she appeared in the Today Show. She told Hoda Kotb. Imagine having to say these words to Hoda. I'm a shell of myself. I have to be clear about the toilet phrase. Next time I do Today Show, I'm opening with that. Hoda's gonna be like, hi, how are you? I'm gonna go, Hoda, I have to be clear about the toilet phrase. I'm sorry. She said, I really did. She goes, I was spraying myself. Oh, brother, I was spraying myself with natural rose water. So even though it wasn't a particularly nice phrase, it was true. Oh, she's that kind of toilet, like a smell, overly fragranced toilet. Rose water. Yeah. I'm going to say something controversial because I actually do use from time to time from Diptyque. They have a rose perfume that I bought a long time ago. It's very strong, but it's more grassy than rosy. Like I love fresh grass smell. I love ocean smell. I like fresh lemon, that kind of thing. The smell of rose, like actual rose water smell to me. And this could be because I had a friend long ago who I always felt used it to cover up her BO. And so it always for me merged in my sense brain with body odor. You know what I mean? So I hated the smell of it. But I really find, listener, apologies if you happen to use it as your main perfume, just straight up rose water. I would highly recommend against it. I think it really does stink. And you know what? In this case, I am on Steve's side. I'll be honest with you. I have to be clear about the toilet phrase because did you not think she smelled like a big pile of shit? I mean, jeez.
I remember reading that he had bad BO.
Really?
Like, wasn't there something I thought it was in the biography where he would only eat apples and he had really bad BO walking around and he wouldn't bathe. So like,
I buy it.
Maybe that's what he was, just like pissed off that somebody smelled like
worse
hygienic.
Oh no, I thought you were going to say that someone like out toileted him. She's like, two can play this game, dad. She shows up reeking. Goodbye. Have fun in hell. Walks out. Jeez. What a fucking asshole. I hate when geniuses are also dicks. That is the worst thing to discover. Yeah. Ugh, that's a bummer. Well, guess I'm just going to keep scrolling here on my MacBook, looking at my iPhone while I shake my fist at the sky, saying, damn him, in my turtlenecks and my little glasses. Damn him to hell. What else is happening here? Here's a fun one. Oldest known animal sex chromosome. I'm trying to think who would be a funny one. Burt Reynolds. It's actually octopuses 380 million years ago. Uh-huh. Okay, whatever that means. I don't know why I'm reading this. All right, I'm just going through the news, people. Give me a break. You know, there's a show that I love, Married at First Sight, which, you know, it's a good one. The American one kind of fucking sucks the worst. I actually have a theory that America has run out of normal people to be on reality TV, unless they're going into like very young, you know, people who have not been broken yet, I guess, 22, 23, there. But once you're getting into people in their 30s and 40s, if they haven't already agreed to go on television, why now? Number one. And they're all fucked up. I really mean that. So this current season of Married at First Sight is I don't even want to say borderline unwatchable. It is unwatchable. I'm still watching it, but it's bad. They have one in England and in Australia. Those are a little bit more palatable because the people are hotter and crazier, which I appreciate. But now they're going to do one. Now, this makes me think, forget getting very young people. The only other people who haven't really been tapped are older people because they missed the boat initially. Like when Bachelor.
They should do like the Bachelor. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, they have a Bachelor, obviously, for older people. They had Golden Bachelor. Now they're going to do the Golden Bachelorette. Right. But now Married at First Sight is doing a spinoff, clearly hot off the heels of Golden Bachelor's success, where it's going to be singles 55 and over. This is the show that I should go on. Because
Married at Last Breath.
By the way, last words, you smell like a toilet. It's like someone walking down the aisle. Wait, what? That is real dumb, but I do love it. It's going to take place in Austin, Texas. We have some listeners who are above 55, probably all of them, to be honest. You on it. I would love to have an inside source on the show. By the way, I know you don't watch any of these shows, but Love is Blind had their finale. And this is just a testament to what I was saying, where none of these people are normal. And so what has been happening the last few seasons on Married at First Sight, on Love is Blind, they don't even make it to the freaking final ceremony because they're so fucked up, broken, that every single couple gives up before the end. This happened last season on Love is Blind.
Oh, really?
And guess what happened this season too? Out of the, I think, five couples they were following, only two of them made it to the altar. And really only one of them was kind of an up in the air surprise. One of them were so boring. I fast forwarded. I just, when they're too in love, I also don't like that. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, well, there's no drama. Well, shouldn't that be in the contract? Like, if you're doing the show, like, you have to show up, right?
I think it is in the contract, and yet somehow they somehow got away with it. So I don't know what to tell you. Yeesh. Here's one that reminds me of my life. Again, from a Reddit thread where you can also Google to see if you're being scammed for your nudes. According to Dan, it says here, mom refuses to let size 14 daughter borrow her size 4 wedding dress. The direct quote is, she is much bigger than me. Just, it's obvious, but also true. Now, my question before I even dig into this.
Stop the presses.
Jeez, this bitch too big. That's what it should have said. This bitch too big. Just look at her. Now, my question is, if you're the daughter, clearly, why would you want? Well, what were you planning on doing? Because it is going to be too small on her. So really, what were you then going to do with it? Take it to a dressmaker and have them put, there, I guess, are ways to make it look bigger. Like you can add fabric to the sides, I guess. Or, really, how are you going to do it without butchering and pulling a full Marge Simpson in her Chanel suit on the dress?
Right.
They'd have to basically take it apart and put it back together. Mm-hmm.
Did you say that this is a wedding dress?
Yes.
Or it's just a dress?
Wedding dress.
It's a wedding dress. Well, on the other hand, what's the mother need it for?
That's my question.
Give it to your daughter, make her happy. Yeah, go ahead.
See, this is now,
as a glove, whatever.
Now we're getting to the crux. What kind of a sicko needs their wedding? I'm sorry, because I know a lot of people frame them. If you're framing your wedding gown and putting it on a wall, I don't have anything.
Really?
No, people do that. Yeah, I don't know if they still are doing it, but I know 10, 20, 15 years ago, there are ways, I'm sure they still are, where you can get it like stuffed with paper and then mounted and put in a massive Lucite box that you can hang. I guess I could see, given how much money they cost, because, you know, they can go for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, these gowns. I could see you wanting to preserve it. And maybe if you're rich enough, hanging it like in a walk-in closet, like if people who have that sort of Sex in the City closet, I could see that being kind of cute. Like I wouldn't do it.
Well,
but
if you're like Barbara Streisand and you have like a mall in your basement, then sure, like put it in a mannequin or whatever. Yeah. But
if you're not very wealthy, I really don't like it. Sorry to say, I don't love it for you. But I agree with you. So let me read what it says here. It says, a mother who is 45, this is on Am I the Asshole, which I actually stopped reading because so many of them were fake that I just couldn't deal with it. But she said, my daughter 20 is getting married in a few months and approached her with a request to borrow the dress. I wish there were photos of the dress so I could be like, tear that shit up. I said, absolutely no. It's my dress. I love it very much. It's something many women have done. And apparently it's a beautiful tradition. Mothers are often happy to do it. But for me, I can't. I love the dress. I was the one who designed it. My mother, okay, this is, are you ready? My mother, who was an excellent seamstress, made it for me. That does change things a little bit. Looking at my wardrobe, this is the last piece I have that she made. I could see that.
I guess so, but
maybe giving
a little
piece
generosity.
Of it? What it's about the, giving like the torso and or the skirt part and keeping this, you know,
veil?
It's like King Solomon's wedding gown. Cut it in half, you know, and then see what happens.
Actually, like why not just base it on the design and have it copied in her size?
Like that's what I'm wondering. Base it on it. She says that she's much bigger than me. She just wants to use the fabric and alter it irreversibly because she's a 14. But she said, look, even if my daughter didn't need to alter the dress, I wouldn't allow her to wear it. She expressed her disappointment in her daughter's lack of respect for her personal belongings. Oh, brother. And this got 500 comments. Someone wrote, you should preserve it. She's in the wrong to complain. Others said, do you have something else you could borrow? Maybe she thought the sentiment was tradition. People need to just grow up sometimes.
Yeah, but it's like a compliment that you want to, you know, do it, you know, continue a tradition. I don't
save
know.
Some money as well. I'm sure it would save her a cost. You know, when I was a bridesmaid in my brother's first wedding, and I know I've told the story before, but there are also people who've never heard it. So I'm going to tell it again. We went down into South Miami where this place was to pick up the dresses. Now, my ex-sister-in-law chose a bridesmaid's dress. Not my personal taste. It was, I believe the color was celadon, but it was like I've definitely told the story before. It was like picture a celery green, but dustier. So really like an ugly kind of a green that really aged me. There are just certain colors I don't look good in, including buttercup yellow. It's just not me. Anything really, any Easter color does not go with me. I'm not an Easter girl. So I would have made a horrible Queen of England. I look at sometimes the things she wore. I went, oh, I would look horrible in that. Just horrendous. But anyway, so I went to the store and, you know, because of I weighed more at the time and also bridal sizing is crazy. So if you're like a size 14, you're a bridal size 18, 20. Like they up it by a number of numbers, which I don't understand why that is. I'm sure there's an expert listening who knows the reason. I just don't get it. Like other than to fat shame your bridesmaids or the bride, like why make it so wildly different from sizing in normal stores, you know, but what have you.
Well, is it something they want to make it more traditional? Because like all the other sizes, if you go into the store, they're like complimenting you by like sizing you down, right?
Yeah, but I mean, just really, it was a horrible feeling seeing the number. Yeah. It was like the waiting room number in Beetlejuice when I went into that dressing room. I was like, oh my God. It unfurled to the ground. I said, I didn't even know they went up this high. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. So anyway, but I tried this gown on. Between us, it was absolutely fucking hideous, but okay, I tried it on. You know, well-intentioned. It is what it is. Not my wedding, right? But it came with a shawl. I put the shawl on and it was the shawl that came for Kristen Chenoweth or, you know, who's a big or Xena the Warrior Princess. It didn't matter who you were. The shawl was the same shawl no matter your size. And on me, it barely wrapped. I mean, it like just wrapped around my shoulders, maybe just tucked into my elbows, but it was not a glamorous, certainly not a generous shawl. And my mom, being Judy, and anyone who listens to the Hello Everybody tier, you get her on a weekly basis. So you should already know who we're dealing with. And no one there really spoke English. It was a Spanish speaking store. And my mom said, excuse me, I'm sorry. This shawl is very small. Look at her. Look at my daughter. My daughter is huge. Look at her. She's a big, big, big person. Okay. You know, so what are we going to do about this shawl? It doesn't make any sense. And the ladies were like, you know, very polite. And they said, we're sorry. This is the shawl. I mean, we send the out for the size. They send it back to us and it is what it is. She goes, get the company on the phone. So now they're dialing this company. I'm at this point sitting on like a little mushroom stool in the dressing room because I don't even want to be seen. If there was a way to somehow like Super Mario Brothers down that big pipe into the ground, I would have, into the sewers. So my mom is now on the phone and she's like, yes, hello, hi. My daughter is huge. She is massive. Okay. And the shawl that you included with this gown is very, very small. I mean, it's a huge size. You should know better than that. And they were like, essentially, go fuck yourself. And so what my mother did was she took the shawl to a fabric store, found an almost identical match to the fabric, bought roughly, I don't know, 75 yards of it. I mean, she bought so much of it. took it to a dressmaker to turn it into a custom shawl for me. And on the day of the wedding, this is my mother. On the day of the wedding, everyone had their little shawls. And then, you know, it was like humiliating for me to come in with the Otto the tent maker shawl, you know, this massive, it like dragged on the floor behind me, you know, it was huge. And I thought, this is humiliating. And then the whole day, look what a mother, look what a mom you have, that I took it and I made you one. And look how nice you look. And look at everyone's shitty shawl. And look at your big, beautiful, glamorous shawl. But,
it got even like more attention. So instead of like people looking at the bridal party being like, oh, they really ordered shawls that are too small, it was like, oh yeah, I got the
XXXXL shawl. I mean, there were not enough
package.
I got the full package. God knows, because I'm sure that dress, if it's not in a landfill somewhere, I'm sure it, because where do bridesmaids dresses end up? Who the hell even knows where that gown ended up? I don't know. I must have donated it somewhere. I seriously have no memory. Anyway. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've ever had like a cute bridesmaid's dress. And I'm really trying to rack my brain. I don't think I've been a bridesmaid that many times. So I'm sort of in the clear, which is nice. Guys don't have to worry about this kind of thing. You have to worry about your dick pics getting blasted to your Slack chat. I'm like here, you know, I'm worried about shawl sizing. And how big my shawl is. I'm sending pictures of my shawl to guys on Bumble being like, do you like it? It's pretty fucking big.
Shawshank Redemption.
Redemption.
Is that what your mom called it?
I have to get out of here. How do I get out of here right now? Your mind. And a scammer thinks he's going to entrap you with that brain? All right. Good luck. Please. No one's funnier than Dan. I don't care what. Shawshank Redemption. You have to get out of here. Oh, brother. Dan, are you the oldest child?
Yes, I am.
You know, you never talk about your siblings.
I have a younger sister. Yeah.
You never talk about your sister. Are you close?
Sort of. I mean, not really.
Okay, that's it. There's nothing else to bring up. No, go
I mean,
on.
I don't know. Through my mom, I know what's going on.
That's very funny. And is she married?
Yes.
Were you in the wedding?
Yeah, and I did. Yes, I was. And I just had to wear a normal suit. So
that's nice.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it was nice. It was like outdoors. It was, it was cheap and cheerful, I think.
Oh, that's very sweet. Cheap and cheerful. Another great thing. I was going to talk about classic older child, what the science says about birth order and personality, but I clicked on it and it's in fact a podcast, which I don't know if we should live listen to a podcast on the podcast. By the way, Dan, speaking of texting and things, I feel like something also happened to you recently that I don't think you've shared with us yet as a family. And it did fill me yet again, and I say this with love, like many of your stories, with dread. So why don't you tell everyone about what happened to you?
Okay, so I got a mass text from a good friend of mine who's an activist and very politically aware and whatever, and it was for his birthday. And so he is inviting us all to go to this bar, and then he's like, in lieu of buying me a drink or whatever, I would love you to donate to this certain charity that was so obscure and kind of like Portlandia level, like funny to me.
Ridiculous.
And just like overly liberal and ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was mildly amusing. So I was talking to this other friend of mine and I'm like, oh, check this out. And I bring up the text message and we're both friends with him, whatever, but we're kind of like making jokes about it for like two full minutes. And then we say goodbye. It was just running into this friend. See you later. And I pull out my phone later. And you know how on your iPhone, they now have like a microphone button?
Don't even
like
start. Don't
real
even start
easy
with
to
me.
Push.
Do you know how many times I have pushed it and then looked down and I'm recording myself on the bus. I'm not even doing anything.
Yes.
It's nothing spicy. It's just, I'm looking down. I'm like, oh, I'm about to send someone background noise of me buying cucumbers or whatever. It's like, what is this a thing?
Why did they do that?
I know.
Ugh.
I'm always buying cucumbers.
So I looked down and... this one or this one. No, and it recorded our entire conversation. And it was one, if I had like touched the iPhone screen in the wrong place, it would have sent him this entire thing.
Oh my God.
Of us making fun of him for like, we're doing a full routine about like back and forth.
Oh my God. That's
so dangerous.
And you just looked down and you saw the little thing moving, right? Oh God, it's horrible.
And I just had to, I had to be very careful about which button you put, because they make it confusing. Like if you're on the phone and you have another call, it's like, which button do I push? Like I had to really, it took all my concentration.
No, it's hell.
Stop, delete. Oof. It was scary though.
God, that sucks. I would have lost my mind. And I hate that happened to you, to be honest with me. I hate it happened to you. I had a thing happen where someone texted shit about me, a friend of mine, to me. It wasn't like clearly intending to talk about me to someone else. Yeah. And honestly, I believe it was something about how I didn't shut up, which note taken. It's like, or like how I talk a lot. Yeah. No fucking duh. You know, if you're friends with me, it's just something you're going to have to get over, because that is what I do, you know? But I remember, and then he was like, oh, sorry, that wasn't meant for you. I'm like, you think? And
God,
I kind of got over it. I don't know. I was like, yeah, you talk a lot. Also, and by the way, we don't even speak anymore. So joke's on me, I guess. But we had a nice friendship for a long time until it turned horrible, you know?
So, well, I accidentally, this happened again, like this weekend, my friends were having a cocktail party and I was texting, I meant to text both of them to say like, oh, hey, can I bring this person? And I accidentally invited them and whatever. Yeah. And I accidentally sent it on a huge group text. And I don't think they had invited all these people, but it was like, I did not realize until much later. And like the other people on the text are like, oh, sounds like fun. I'm going to bring so-and-so too. And like making fun of me to like. Make it okay. But I was like, actually, everybody didn't end up coming to the party and we had a great time, but that's
hilarious.
Great.
Well, listen, I'm proud of us because we've not gotten in trouble yet. I'm sure there's a way to remove that. Cause the thing is, I also love doing the like speaking into my phone and having it transcribe my voice. I hate a voice note, but I love transcribing stuff voice to text. And so that's also confusing, but like, I'm a big orangutan, you know, I'm just dumb in general. So I'll think it canceled at some point. All right. Well, listen, Dan, this was a treat. Can I remind everyone, if you haven't already, to go buy your tickets to my tour, michellecollinslive.com, 8 cities across the U.S. And if you can possibly share it on socials, let your friends know. Some of the shows, one is already sold out, Boston. Some of the shows are very close to being sold out. But then we have LA, New York, and Portland, which are in bigger theaters. So especially if you live in those towns, let your friends know. And that's basically everything, Dan. This was a fun one. I'm happy that you weren't extorted. I knock on wood. I hope he's not a midnight snacker, this guy, because that'd be a bummer for me. That would be a bummer. I'd be like, oh, come on. I hope not. And folks, that is our show. We will see you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
And that's the episode. We hope you loved it. Again, if you want to hear the show every single day, go to www.patreon.com/mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. You can also follow me on Instagram, X, TikTok, all the things. Mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. I'm running myself into the ground for content, and I want you to be a part of it. So we'll see you over there. And thanks again for joining us. Bye, guys.